I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is brought to you by the supporters of patreon.com/DanLessac. And if you enjoy this podcast, you should consider becoming a supporter of patreon.com/DanLessac. This will not be the last time you hear the phrase patreon.com/DanLessac in this podcast. Enjoy!
Hey, welcome back. It's me, Daniel. Daniel Knapsack. Oh, that would have been better if I'd said Daniel Nutsack. Let's do that. No, I've done it. I've already done it, basically. How are you doing? Welcome. Hey, this is Dan from The Edit. I didn't actually say the name of the podcast in this intro. So, Falling Forward with Dan Sack, episode 28. Now, Dan from the past is going to carry on talking. The response to the last episode was awesome. Thank you, guys. Genuinely appreciate all the tweets and all that shenanigans. I know I promised to not randomly mumble my intros, but hey, let's randomly mumble another intro, guys. How about that? What have you been up to? I technically haven't done anything since the last time we talked, but I'm in America. I went there, although I'm recording this before I went to America, so technically I'm not there yet, but let's lie. I had a lovely time over there. I went to thrift shops and maybe I bought a gun. You never know, guys. You never know. Maybe when I was over there in the past, even though it's the future because I've not gone yet, maybe I bought a gun and felt like more of a man, because that's what they do, I think. I don't know. I've got a tiny penis and the gun, the imaginary gun I bought, made me feel like I had like an average size penis. So there is that. Anyway, stop talking about penises, Dan. Let's talk about this week's guest. It is Leah, aka artist formerly known as Leah Loves Chief. Now, just going with the straight Leah, Twitch streamer, head of the Fordzilla esports team. I don't know if she counts as the head. I can't remember what we said. She'll talk about it in the podcast, so she'll say what it is. And just all-round delightful human being. Any of you who know me from the twitch.tv, that's why I stream. Not that. She is why I stream. I was all grumpy and depressed after the end of Dan Lessac versus Scroobius Pip. Don't know if you've heard of him. But yeah, super down. Hadn't opened the curtains in a long time. And then my friend Jake said, hey, you should check out Twitch. It looks like a fun old time. And his friend Leah, who is Leah who we're about to talk to on the podcast, he recommended her, and I watched and I was like, wow, that looks like fun, you see, because she was having fun playing video games on the internet. So I started doing it, and I had fun. I know, crazily I had fun and enjoyed it and started talking to other human beings again. I know, it's crazy. It's a crazy thing that happened. And then roll on a few years, 3-4 years, and we have a podcast. I'm out in the world talking to people. I've released music. That wasn't going to happen again. Like, the original plan was that I would get fat, and be found dead and bloated in my living room from a coronary. But now, I'm actually losing weight, talking to other human beings, and I'm markedly less sad. So, Jake, Leah, appreciate that. Anyway, you'll enjoy her. She's a delightful human being, one of those sunny human beings, you know? But yeah, check her out on the Twitter at Leah Viathan. So Leah Viathan, LeahVIathan. And check her out on Twitch. What is she on Twitch? Let's check. Is she that on Twitch? Twitch. I'm on my phone checking, guys. This is definitely a longer, ramblier intro, but I'm very professional. Oh, it's just Leah. L-E-A-H on Twitch. That's actually quite good. She did well. Only four letters. Very good. Edit. I actually wanted to give way more shout-outs, but I didn't want it to be a 12-hour intro again. So, Twitch, go there. Richard Hammer, he's good, great, wondrous. H.C. Justin, he's the best boy. H.C. Justin, the best boy. Limegrove, she's a delight. But yeah, back to me talking whenever I recorded this intro. And yeah, that's it. That's all I've got to say, guys. I don't even know if I said the name of the podcast this week, but, you know, it's done now. That's the intro. Enjoy.
The music on this podcast can be found at danlesac.bandcamp.com. And if you were to purchase some of the ambient twerks or trip-hop bangers from danlesac.bandcamp.com, you'd be directly supporting this podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Doi.
You got a cozy yeah. light. Nice and warm.
Cozy colour changing light. Lovely.
Bougie. Something happened with content creators and colour changing LEDs.
Yeah, it's like you can't have a background unless there's about 40 flashing lights behind you.
Oh my god. So I was watching ages ago now, like a year ago, I was watching Real Crafty.
Well, oh yeah. I hadn't watched him in years. Love Crafty.
He's a lovely man.
He is, yeah.
But he's obviously got all these colour changing LEDs behind him. And it's like Christmas lights
there.
And it's garish. What I liked, though, was watching his chat with people coming in going, oh, mate, love your lights. Love them.
And it's like, sick, mate.
Can you imagine actually having to sit in that room?
It's not so bad, to be honest. I mean, because this light is usually on, and that's like, it's big light. It's got lots of colour and stuff. But I used to have it so that it flashed with all the alerts. And then I was like, you know what, this is a bit much. So I think it's all right if you're playing a multiplayer game, because there's so much happening anyway. You know what I mean? It just matches the scene. But
I think, I'm not going to put that on the table. I think Philips ones Hugh, now,
Philips
you Hugh. Can set them so that they pick up your HDMI signal.
What?
So then they'll change colour in relation to what's
Why
on your
Why have you told
screen.
Me this? All of my stuff is Hue. I'm going to be
have
doing
a,
this now.
Have a Google. Have a Google.
I ain't be right back.
But yeah, so what do you do?
What do I do? That is a broad question, to be honest, because I do a lot of things.
That's why I don't usually ask people.
But yeah?
Yeah, usually I can say you're in a band and then we just go from there. Yeah. But you do a lot.
Yeah, so I kind of fell into live streaming on Twitch about 5 years ago. Before that, I did videography. So like, I've always been like a really creative person. I love doing making various forms of artistic content. So I fell into live streaming. And these days, what's kind of evolved into doing a bit of YouTube, a bit of like influencer. I hate that word, but influencer stuff. I'm currently doing some like acting sort of things on the side. And presenting. So I'm like a presenter, live host. So there's like, I wear a lot of hats, really. And I really like to keep pushing myself in different directions because I haven't quite figured out what my passion is yet. So I'm like, I'll figure it out if I go eventually.
Well, it's that thing of maybe it'll figure it out for you
exactly.
as well. It might be that sort of thing where you stumble into a, oh, I'm a fully fledged presenter now. It's like, okay.
This is the thing. It's like, I don't like to tell people, you should push yourself, right? Like, you should never wait for opportunities to come to you. You should be out searching for them. But at the same time, sometimes you kind of just have to follow different paths and see what presents itself to you. You can't, as long as you're trying, then that's all that matters. But yeah, it's weird because you are just in a state of constantly kind of like waiting, like a little bit on edge. Like, oh, is something going to happen? Am I going to have to go get a real job in quotation marks?
But I think that's true of most creators. Like even traditional painters, whatever, they're always going to have that. There's an outside influence required to make anything happen, which is the hard part.
And
how are you finding that with Twitch at this point? Because recently you've sort of cut back a little.
Yeah, so I was working with Xbox until the end of last year.
That was like a year.
It's a year and a half I was there for, so it was a decent amount of time. And obviously, working with Xbox, it brought financial security because I was working there 5 days a week and. Now I've left, so I'm very fortunate because just as I was leaving, I was offered a deal with Ford. So I'm like captaining their esports team, which is another thing I forgot to mention. Apparently I'm an esports team captain as well. But I'm captaining their esports team, which basically just means I'm trying to find talent and helping bring people together to events and helping Ford figure out the best way to sort of penetrate the market.
Can you drive in real life?
I can't drive. And I told them that before I started. I was like, right. I mean, I'll be honest, lads, I don't play racing games and I don't drive, so I'm going to be completely honest starting out, I don't know if I'm a good fit for this. And they were like, that's fine, we don't want that. We're looking for someone who is in touch with the gaming market in the UK.
Yeah.
And I was their choice for that. So, but yeah, so luckily that pays me now enough stability for this the year ahead, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
To make me, like, not as stressed. But coming back into Twitch is a weird place because I'm now... Like, I'm a variety streamer, and that's rough on Twitch, because it's... There's no market for that, per se. People don't look for a variety streamer. They just find a streamer playing a game that they're interested in. And if they really like it, they might come back for a different game. But the likelihood is quite slim. So it's weird, because I'm at that point where I'm... Like, yesterday I was having a bit of stress about money. Like, oh my god, what am I going to do next year? Ford, don't take me back. I'm going to be... Oh, what's happening? But I just kind of have to trust the process, really. And just try my best and see what happens.
I suppose, and just maintaining all those different skills as such.
Yeah.
So how did the Ford thing come about? Was that just through, like, other content creation and people were...
Yeah, so they... I don't really know how they found me, but they obviously contacted my agent, and my agent sort of said to me, like, yeah, if you're interested, give it a go, maybe. Like, I mean, you know, it's up to you. Like, my agent's very, very good, because I've heard of... very pushy agents who are just like, take it, you need to take it, we need the money. But my agent's just like, if you're not into it, don't do it. Like, don't feel any pressure.
Yeah.
So they just contacted him, and we had like negotiations for about a month or two where we just kind of went back and forth on deliverables, because obviously every contract is like, right, we want so many social media posts, so many events, so many support externally. So yeah, and then I just said, well, if they think I'm okay, then sure. Because my main worry was... Obviously, in the racing community, they're going to be like, who is this outsider coming in? Like, she knows nothing about racing games. Why should we listen to her at all? So my concern, and in the meetings we had beforehand, was saying, I want you to know that any communication I have with people about this is saying that I know nothing about racing and that I want to get into
like,
that.
Like, teach me.
Yeah, teach me. I want you guys to teach me. I want to... And if there are women out there who should be in my place, which I'm sure there absolutely are, then I want to help them. You know what I mean? I don't want to be... I love this role and it's fantastic, but I would love to help people who deserve it as well in the future. So, yeah, that's kind of my goal, is to try and help bring other people up and feel like they could do what I'm doing.
Yeah. I think you've talked about that before.
Probably.
Like, generally about just trying to make women feel like it's okay to be a gamer.
Yeah.
Or a game content... I hate the phrase content creator.
Yeah. It's such a broad term, isn't it? Like, it can mean anything. But, yeah, I did an interview when I joined Ford, and it was with a journalist who ended up publishing it to, like, the Daily Mail and various other places. And it was essentially my... It's interesting when you do interviews, because often it'll be like, oh, so... what's your job in Ford? Like, what are you doing? And how much money do you make?
Yeah.
And in this one in particular, it was, so how much do women get bullied in the gaming industry? And I'm like, well, I don't want to talk negatively about this, because that's just going to be more off-putting for the most part. And, you know, at the end of the day, there are way more positives than there are negatives. So instead, I've tried to sort of turn the conversation around into how can we make the industry better for women, right? Mm. And in my view, I don't want to infantilize women. I don't want to say to them, like, you need your hand-holding in this industry, because they don't. Women are fantastic. They're already making waves. But there's maybe some people who are kind of like, well, there's so many men here. Do I belong in that job? And I want to say to them, like, hey, like, I'm doing it right now. You can do it as well if you want to. Like, you don't need to feel scared about that. So, yeah.
The whole... This idea that women are constantly being bullied is an interesting one, because there are definitely, like, if we look at Twitch streaming, there are definitely women who are targets for 4chan trolls and little Reddit mobs and stuff, but they are definitely the minority. It's just, for some reason, there's this weird thing that happens that dudes get really frustrated when they see somebody else making money.
Yeah.
Or they're stealing my viewers. Well, no, they're not.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've seen that quite a lot. I mean, that one gets disproved so often, because at the end of the day, how can you steal someone's viewers? If they want to watch you, they'll watch you. If someone else is providing better content, you've got to believe Twitch viewers are fickle. Anyone on the internet is fickle. They're not going to just stick around for you and wait for your content to be something they enjoy. They'll just go watch someone else.
When it comes down to it, if you're worried that someone playing, like, Dance Dance Revolution or whatever, is stealing your PUBG viewers, you're very confused about what's going on.
Yeah, like, what's your audience then? Like, what are you trying to appeal to?
If you want to watch someone dancing, you're going to watch someone dancing. Exactly. You're not going to watch a grumpy guy who's complaining about women on the internet playing PUBG.
And this is the thing, there's a lot of people...
Oh, listeners, PUBG's Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. It was a very sensational game a few years ago, then supplanted by Fortnite.
Yeah, it kind of, the less spoken about that, the better, I think. It was the hype for a while, and then it kind of, went downhill.
I think that's the thing with gaming, though, because it's so online. It's so, the internet, I'm an old man. I remember when you got the news of things in the enemy.
Yeah,
or
that
in,
creaking you can hear is your back, it's not the chair.
Back, it's not the chair. But, like, I think we hear of things, we can engage with them, and we can get bored with them in so much quicker a fashion now.
And that's become more apparent to me as I've been on TikTok recently, which has made me feel old. I'm like, Jesus, I'm 26, I shouldn't feel old. But it's the...
Oh, well, I was on TikTok when it was still called Musical.ly.
They did a very, very good rebrand, I have to say, because that got so much negative press, and they've managed to sort of turn that around very, very well. I mean, I'm sure it's had millions and millions of money put into it.
It's still, like, TikTok still has problems, but now it has the thing where it just has far more good
normal
happening.
Whereas
with Musical.ly, like, a lot of people's first hearing of it was like creepy dudes doing creepy shit.
And it was full of kids. I mean, TikTok still is. There's a lot of kids on there who are making entirely inappropriate content, and it's very bizarre, and it's uncomfortable to see. And the main vehicle for seeing content on TikTok is the For You page, where you're just giving random videos. And I mean, I spend hours scrolling through that, because the creativity on the app is so inspiring. It's the art on there.
I think it's true of the internet in general.
Yes, yeah.
Because, I don't know what it is. I think there is something about
when people realized that they could make things and show the world, they started making things that you weren't going to see somewhere else. It's like I had him on here. There's a YouTuber called Look Mum No Computer, and he's just a musician and electrician, basically, and he builds his own stuff, and he made an organ out of Furbies and all this, and he makes silly things, but there's no TV channel ever going to pay him to make that.
No.
Yeah.
You've got to make your own niche, haven't
you? He made his little corner, and now he gets to tour the world making organs that fire flames and stuff.
And it's amazing, because, I mean, like you said, the internet moves on very quickly, and TikTok is very much a symptom of that, because it's a quick video, you scroll past, it's gone. Like, it's onto the next thing, onto the next best thing. And the trends go by so fast. Mm. But, I mean, and in that, and in the same way, it kind of empowers the internet, because the bunch of people who maybe didn't enjoy that piece of content will move on, but you'll keep getting different people who've never seen it before come in. And it's so vast that there'll be thousands, millions, billions of people who've not seen this content before who are quite happy to view it.
There's something about TikTok's short nature as well that helps it with the, like, meme, like, the copying nature.
Yes.
Like, people remixing ideas and those ideas evolving. Which I find fascinating, because the more people you get to think about a thing, the more likely you are going to distill that thing into something great.
Best form,
And,
so, I mean, they've done so well to give people the tools to do that as well. Mm. Like, they've heard their audience and gone, yeah, you know what you do? You want this ability to take someone else's sound and create your own sort of video with that, so that people can relate it and understand the content faster. And it's the same way they did with Vine. Like, they've basically taken what Vine started.
Rip Vine, man. Rip
Vine. Yeah, I love Vine. It's, but they've taken that sort of idea of quick form content that you just scroll past, and they've just distilled it to its best form and made it even better and made it more accessible and made it so people can make money off it, which is where Vine ultimately failed.
It's something about friction. Like, we're sat here in your streaming room.
Yeah.
And you're set up, ready to go. Like, press space bar, that PC's on. You could be streaming in seconds.
Yeah.
But that's the point. Like, you have to leave it all set up, because if you create friction, if, like, oh, well, I've got to set up my lights every time before I stream.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it.
No, friction is the biggest enemy of creativity. Like, as soon as you've got obstacles in your way.
Netflix is real bad.
Well, it's true, though. Like, as soon as there's a minor inconvenience, there's so much other stuff you can be doing in 2020 with that time. Mm. You're kind of like, well, I'll leave it. Like,
I used to have a green screen for my stream, and it was a pop-up one.
Oh, yeah.
It was easy to pop up. But to get it to work, I kind of had to prop it up on this mic stand and lean it, and then I got to the point where I just wasn't streaming because of, and it's like, just don't use the green screen.
And it's crazy, isn't it? How it's like your brain gets so ingrained in this one idea of, well, I need to set the green screen up and make it look perfect, and it doesn't look perfect, so I can't do it, and now I'm in a bad mood, and it's all wrong, and your brain gets so obsessed with this that you can't see the perspective of, just don't use it, like, just do it differently. And this is something that I kind of had, like, the epiphany of last year. I was in a meeting with my agency, and they were talking about, like, content, and I was like, yeah, why don't I just do something completely random? Why am I so obsessed with the idea of making something perfect and, like, how I would like it? When I know from experience that on the internet, if I like the way something is done, it doesn't mean someone else does.
Yeah.
So if I don't like the way something is done, there's other people who will, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be perfect by my standards. And that's kind of been quite freeing to let go of that. In the context of online creation that you scroll past every 5 seconds, I think, in the context of art, like, maybe more permanent pieces, art, music, it's a little bit different, because you do want to search for that perfection in yourself. But, yeah, there's some things where you just need to let go a little bit, I think.
But there's perfect, and then there's too perfect as well. It's like, as a musician, it's the thing I've been trying to get out of in the last couple of years of, like, this is never going to be perfect. No. It's never going to reach this point in that I imagine it to be.
Yeah.
So as soon as I'm happy is when it's done, rather than 6 months later after I've tinkered, oh, is that snare drum loud enough? Right, it doesn't
and
matter.
It's funny, because no one else knows what's in your head, right? So no one else knows it's not perfect. They just go, this is good.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, when you watch someone, like bands or whatever, if you make a mistake, don't react.
Oh.
If you're the bass player and you hit play a bum note, just play it like you meant to play it. Yeah. Because no one in the audience knows.
No, exactly.
They might think, oh, that note was odd.
Yeah.
But if they look at your face and you're like, oh, no.
They're like, oh, he's made a mistake. Oh, and then it's just a vehicle for a like, game.
What? I did nothing wrong.
You guys, your hearing was bad. Doesn't work in gaming, unfortunately, because everyone can see you didn't actually mean to do that. You're like, no, I meant to do that somersault off a cliff. And yeah. Then everyone's like, mm-hmm, yep.
I think there is definitely a skill to embracing your mistakes.
Yes, absolutely. So. And that's how I built my entire content. It's just like, I'm goofy. You know what I mean? I make mistakes, but I will absolutely own up to them and try and explain how that mistake happened. And then be like, okay, how do we do better next time? And that's, I don't know, for a lot of people, that's kind of something they haven't quite grasped.
Well, I think it's a weird thing about watching games. There's some games you might be looking for a creator who is great at that game. Yeah. You know,
like League or like...
Yeah, if you're watching Dark Souls, The Happy Hob. I know he's not allowed to be called the Happy Hobbit. He's got the Tolkien estate made him change his name.
Really?
Yeah, so now I think it's the Happy Hob.
That's so overbearing.
Like,
wow.
But he's playing Dark Souls and he's like the only person to have played the entire series in one go without getting hit. So without taking damage and stuff like that, like crazy. So you might watch that guy for the skill.
Yeah.
But there is something equally as exciting to watch someone new to the game for the first time. Like, what?
It's satisfying to watch them make the same mistakes you did and then learn from them afterwards and be like, yes, you've gone through the exact same process that I went through. And I don't know why.
It is annoying when they get to that first boss and they just rinse them first time.
Like, you're like, oh.
It took me like 2 hours, mate.
I remember I did that first boss on Dark Souls 3 with mouse and keyboard, and I was there like, and mouse keyboard on Dark Souls, for anyone who knows, is awful.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Like, I wasn't told this though, so I did it and I beat him, and I was like, afterwards I got through it and I said to people, oh, I beat him, and they're like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I just use mouse and keyboard. And they were like, sorry. What? And I was like, oh, is it easier on controller? And I found out it is much easier on controller.
It's weird. Well, a lot of people would say that's a sin to say that controller's better.
I know. But I'm playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order at the moment. That's another game that's much better on controller.
Third person melee.
Yeah.
Way controller better. All the way.
Yeah.
See, it even rhymes. It rhymes.
That's... No, but yeah, most other games, mouse and keyboard superior.
For shooty games,
yes.
The precision. Absolutely. I've never been able to master mouse and keyboard, but
no.
Well, it's because I'm an old man.
There's always time, Dan. There's always time.
There's always time. There's always time. So how did you get to here? So you said about doing like some video production before.
Yeah.
But you sort of said you fell into Twitch streaming. Was this just one of those, like,
I'll do it
for fun, and then it blew up?
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, it's pretty funny, because we actually... I met you at a shoot back when I was doing videos. So we used to do fashion videos, and that was pretty crazy in itself. And, it was kind of one of those things. I was freelance, I was working on this, I was also working on a motocross event, so I used to do... working motocross. The more I talk about the things I've done, the more I'm like, there's no connectivity with any of this. It's all just completely random. So I was working on this event. So I was pretty much completely freelance. And I was like, well, I might as well try streaming. Because I, as you can see, I talk a lot. Like, I'm very energetic. And I kind of like sharing those vibes with people. And I thought, well, if I've got something to share... might as well just try and share it and see what happens. So I did originally try streaming from my Xbox at home with my 0.5 megabyte connection. Didn't go well. It was like one frame every maybe 5 minutes people could get.
Nice.
But I tried. And this was back when the Xbox One had just come out. The Twitch app was there. There was all this like, hype about you can stream from your Xbox. I was like, oh, that's so cool. My only experience with Twitch had been Twitch Plays Pokemon. So I was like, okay, that's really interesting. I didn't watch Twitch at all. And then my friend Ella started streaming.
Mm-hmm.
They had pretty good internet at their house. I was like eternally jealous, like, oh, I really want to stream. But I was super proud because she was doing well and she seemed to be doing like very well in what she did. So I was like, well, why not? Why not try it? You know, it seems to be really fun. And I was into cosplay at the time as well. So I was like, well, I could stream in cosplay and it could be a bit different because people don't seem to do that at the moment. So... The office that I was working at the time, the one belonged to my ex-boyfriend's dad. He owned the motocross event. So I would work there every day. And he got fiber internet installed. So I was like, oh my God, the time is now. So I was like begging. I was like, please, I could stay late in the evenings maybe after work and stream. And I didn't have a computer at the time either. So this was all like... It was all a mess, to be honest. And this was over Christmas. I was in my most depressed period of time. This was like 2014.
Which was a rubbish year.
It was a rubbish year, yeah. I was sat in the doctor's office on Christmas Eve crying because I was so, like, so down. And I had food poisoning on Christmas Day. It was honestly the worst start to a year you could imagine.
Always
fun. Yeah, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And I was like, we went to France to visit my ex's parents. I was like... begging him the whole time, like, please, can we just buy a computer? Like, it'll be a cheap one. Like, finding any way I could to try and see if we could borrow some money from people to try and buy a computer. And it got to the point where eventually we got one. So we built it in March that year. And I started streaming and it went well immediately. And I was, like, so relieved because I was like, oh, my God, the begging, the desperation, it kind of paid off in a way.
So was that just before Destiny launched?
That was just after. So just I was, like, after. Obsessed with Destiny. I'd made a cosplay. I was, like, I loved it so much. And I started streaming Destiny and I was so, it was right time, right place. I was so fortunate that the community was so welcoming and it wasn't really, it was still growing. There was not really like a community per se.
Yeah.
It was still like quite new. And I streamed the cosplay, got a bit of attention for that, posted it on Reddit, got more attention. And it kind of just snowballed from there really. And I did it for fun. And when I started, I didn't realize really what you could do with Twitch.
When we listeners, we're talking about cosplay here. We're not talking about like sexy Harry Potter cosplay. We're talking about like crafted armor.
Yeah.
The game we're talking about, space magic. So, you know, like mechs-ish armor.
It's like space wizard.
So space
it was like
wizard.
Robe, like
full on. Oh, it was a warlock.
Yeah, it was a warlock. So, had a full on, and it was all handmade, like a full on. Robe, completely covered, head to toe. Like, there's no sexy about this.
It was
just
around.
I just relied on like good craftsmanship, and it worked.
That's the thing, like with cosplay as well. Like people do, especially with the invention of 3D printers.
Yeah.
Like people can craft some amazing.
It's much easier now,
stuff.
I have to say, than it was. I mean, it's more accessible, but at the same time, obviously, the best tools, 3D printers, are like still up there. But it does make it a lot easier to try, because a lot of people, you can just order 3D printed parts online and then paint them yourself and you've got a cosplay. So it's a lot. I mean, back then I was like sanding every tiny bit of foam, like making everything perfect by hand. Like it was rough as well because I had no money, so everything was on the cheap, on budget. It was like going into B&Q looking at like bits of toilets and stuff to see what I could repurpose to cosplay. So I made an entire huge rifle from a game called Fallout. It was massive, it was about this big. It's a cannon. And I made it all out of like random bits of plywood, a bottle, a bit of toilet pieces, and it was all just completely random stuff I'd found.
Weirdly though, that's kind of how Fallout made
exactly.
The game.
It felt
so
right.
It's kind of perfect. I never really thought how attuned Fallout is to the hobbycraft.
Yeah, it works really well. I mean, my favourite thing was Borderlands because in Borderlands everything's sort of like cartoony, so you can get away with making loads of mistakes in your cosplay, and you just sort of draw over it and no one knows.
Self-shading.
It's amazing. But honestly, the things that happened on Twitch for my growth were, it was just a perfect storm, and I didn't expect to make a living off it. Never mind, like, I expected maybe if things went well, I'd make a little bit of money, I guess.
But it is funny, because obviously you were already growing, but then at the end of year one of Destiny, there was the year one community video they put out that had a lot of people, and you got a lot of attention from that because they featured the cosplay.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't really, that's not like my perspective, I suppose. Like, that's interesting you say that, because I mean that whole first year was a muddle to me. It was just a blur of trying to claw my way out of this depressed, anxious state, clinging on to streaming because it was what was bringing me like real happiness and joy. And my life completely changed that year. For the first time, I was financially independent. I was working for free essentially before that, and just to pay my own rent. So it was kind of a trade-off. I had work, then I get to live for free in the house. So I had no money of my own. I had nothing. And I went from that to renting a house, to making my own money, to making my own decisions, to visiting America for the first time ever. And it was, everything was just a blur. Because there were so many things happening that year. And then when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like that's, it's a mental assault. And I never really managed to distill all that. So I'm kind of still dealing with the after effects of kind of like unexpected success in something I wasn't really looking for success in. I was just looking for a good time.
See, it's an interesting thing because that's how it happens for bands. You know, there's a lot of bands out there who have this thing that happens and then, oh shit, I'm now touring, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Oh, wait, I'm on the BBC.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All that happens. But when you're in a band, even me and Pip, there was two of us, but that meant we had this other person to kind of share that with.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, keep real with. Yeah. You know? Whereas when you're in your stream on your own, it must be, is it, did you feel like you needed to find other people to gain a bit of perspective and support? Or did you spin around the house going, woo?
I mean, I was an anxious mess half the time. I couldn't sleep half the night. If I got raided, there was a couple of times I got raided by big streamers, and I was like,
guys, is where one big streamer, or any streamer, finishes their stream and then violently forces their viewers to go watch someone else.
Yeah, they bring all the viewers over. And back then on Twitch, it was very effective. People would be really interested in who was being raided. Yeah. It doesn't work so much well these days, but that's another conversation. But, and I'd spend that whole night after I'd been raided. Like, I couldn't sleep. I'd be shaking. I'd be so stressed, but happy. Like, oh my God, did that happen? But also like, oh God, that happened. However, I have to say, my ex, he supported me through all of it, and we're still friends. Like, we still talk quite often. It didn't work out in the end, and we both accepted that, and that was fine. So we went out of it quite amicably. And we'd been together like 5-6 years at that point. So
he's super buff now.
He's super buff. Scare he him, is. Sorry. And he's a lovely, lovely person, and he helped me so much through that time. But it did take its toll on us because it got to the point where I was like, oh, it's getting successful. So obviously I want to spend more time on it and, you know, see what happens, see where it goes. Yeah. And one person in a partnership gets sudden success, it can leave the other person like feeling a little bit out in the cold because it's kind of like they're seeing all this cool stuff happen, but and they're a part of it, but not really. And it was that you can't, like, there's nothing you can do about that except for try and make them feel like a part of what's happening and make them feel involved, which you can try your best to do, but sometimes it just doesn't work. So,
And I can imagine, like, from his... Not his, I don't know him well enough to say his upbringing, but from a male's general upbringing where we're sort of told from a young age that we're providers and all this, that for your partner to be having a load of success and you, I think men need to realise that they can take a support role.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not, you know, you don't have to be the one out there grinding out all the money.
Yeah.
You can be the one that makes it perfectly possible for your partner to do it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm so ambitious. Like, I don't want tons of money. I don't want to be a billionaire or anything. That's just ridiculous. But I am ambitious. I want to find fulfillment in success for what I do. And it was kind of like trying to push that fulfillment on that person, I suppose. And looking back, I'm like, I don't know how I could have handled it differently. But at the same time, I knew he is very talented. He's so good at making videos. And I just wanted to push him, like, you just try more with it because you're so good at this. Like, you could go so far if you just applied yourself more to it. And it was that frustration of just, like, I suppose, like, I'm kind of rising up and I'm seeing him, like, not so much and just trying to, like, come on, you can do it. Come with me. We can do this together. And, it was a weird one.
But it's one, you can't ever push someone else. You can give them the opportunity to grow or do whatever they need to do, but... You can only ever do it when you're ready.
They're living their own lives. They've got to do their own thing, go on their own path, and that's the hardest thing to learn, I think, is sitting day to day with that.
How do you find, because obviously you're working with Ford now, like a corporation, and you're working with Xbox, which I think they're Microsoft?
That's a small company, Mick.
Some tech.
I'm not sure who Mick is, but... Mick,
Mickey Soft. weird, you say that. Mike Bithell, his first games when he was a student. He's the guy who made Thomas Was Alive.
Yeah.
When he was like a teenager, where he called himself Microsoft. Like, he's the handy. He made stuff on like BBC Basic, and actually like at secondary school handed that in as work. I think that might be apocryphal.
Makes you feel a bit like, you know.
Oh, mate, the amount of people I've met on here that are just, like, super talented, they've, like, worked their whole lives, and I'm like...
the presents.
Okay.
Hello.
Like, I can't manage to get the washing up done. But how do you find that, like, obviously, Twitch, you're super free to make whatever you want, whenever you want. Yet, then, how do you find the balance between being normal Leah and corporate Leah? I suppose.
I did find it quite difficult, I suppose, because, I mean, there was a lot of expectation on me to post brand content, right? And it wasn't part of the contract. It was just kind of like, you're a member of the team, so you should be doing this. Like, this is expected of you. Why aren't you all in? And to me, it was, I didn't sit right with me, because I just didn't, I'm like, this is my thing, you know? Mm. This is my personal thing, and I don't want it to be an advert, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, so I definitely have, I had reservations, and obviously on YouTube, the content we'd make, it is sales, it's, you know, you're trying to get people to invest themselves personally or financially in the ecosystem, the people, you know, you want to buy an Xbox, it's awesome, it's cool, it's fun, this is what you could do, buy it, and it got to the point with me where I was like, I don't want to do that, I suppose, I want to be showing people how to have a good time, I want to be saying to people, like, isn't this fun? Why, you could be having fun too. And that's the kind of content I wanted to make, but it wasn't possible in that role. So it was really difficult to separate myself from the shop talk, I suppose. And you're constantly getting accusations of being a shill and like all sorts of nasty stuff, really. There's all sorts of insults are thrown at you. And to...
Oh God, if you say anything positive about anything, you're being paid. Awful.
Like... And like, I don't... It's hard to talk about because obviously I don't want to... I've got a good relationship with Xbox and I don't want to jeopardise that in any way. But it was difficult to liaise that with myself and to feel good about the work I was doing when I didn't enjoy that in the corporate space. Does that make sense? It's a weird one to navigate, I think.
Well, because there is something of... Like, gaming YouTube, there are some formulas that seem to work for brands.
And you have to do it.
Yeah.
If you're a brand YouTube, you have to do the clickbait. You have to get people interested in whatever. You've got to make them think you're giving them some secrets that people don't know yet. Because otherwise, why would you watch branded content? Like, why would... I mean, you know, I was tweeted by Chicago Town recently. I'm like, yeah, pizza, love pizza. I tweeted them. I was like, make a giant mini Chicago Town pizza. Because they're the best ones, let's face it. They are superior pizzas. And they responded to me.
The deep dish one.
Yeah. The big one of those.
I'm not a fan.
Oh, well.
Sorry, you can, Chicago.
The door
town.
Is there. and they tweeted
me
back.
I've been to Chicago as well. I've been to
you've been to real... Okay, so I haven't been there.
Chicago,
The real Chicago.
Chicago.
But I was thinking, why don't I follow Chicago Town on Twitter? And then I was like, why would I? Like, why would you want to follow a brand's content? Like, unless it's hilariously funny, which is something I think KFC do quite well.
It's weird, though, because, like, now every brand is
relatable,
funny
like, kind of edgy.
Was it Sunny D? Who was it earlier the last year who did the... Like, so everyone's being this funny,
everyone's being Wendy's, right?
Being Wendy's. And then one of them just did depression. Did, like, a really sad tweet. I just can't cope today. And then all the other brands came in and said, are you all right? We're here if you want to talk. And it became so weird because it's like, I totally get what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because everyone's then doing it.
Yeah.
We, the audience, are like, oh, it's another funny brand.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's newsworthy the first time because it's like, it's brave. I mean, it is brave for a brand to do that, to get through all the corporate layers and levels of approvals to be able to tweet something like that. As silly as it sounds, if you're not in the industry, it will sound so like absurd, but to get to the point where you could just write that tweet on a brand account is pretty mental. And it's brave. It's very brave because it could just flop and people would be like, what the heck are you on?
It's a weird thing though, because it's I can't remember, Arby's I think it is, maybe one of those, they do some weird stuff where they make art with the food, so they'll cut, like lettuce and bread, and they did a series of those for gaming, like Metroid and all that. They were cool things, but so they're making a thing that you go, wow, and then you share it,
yeah,
brand awareness.
I've never seen this before. Guys, look at this. Wow, cool.
But we've got to that point now where you don't actually have to make anything.
No.
It is literally... Well, you do have to make... You just have to make a joke.
It's just shitposting. People just... I mean, and brands are just getting into that thing where it's like, well, just shitpost. Because people... The age group that they're trying to apply to, right? It's just people who go, they're doing what we do. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. And I think audiences are a lot savvier than people give them credit for. Because a lot of the time, people are just like, what? Like, why are you doing this? But like, if a big brand just tweets, nice. Then it's like, that's kind of funny. That's breaking what we expect from a corporate brand. So therefore, it's relatable.
Until it becomes what we expect from a corporate brand.
And then you suddenly don't expect other things like corporate speak. I wonder where the wheel's going to turn next.
It is weird. Yeah, I can't predict it. I think I used to be quite good at spotting them.
Yeah.
But again, because it happened so slowly.
Yeah. Like
the Tango ads when I was 14 or
advertising
whatever.
Advertising was mental like 20 years ago.
It was definitely like a period of time where adverts went, yeah, we just have to be weird. This is the only thing we've
adverts.
Got. Have you seen this advert?
Exactly, yeah.
But then everyone became weird.
Yeah.
You know?
So then it's just all TV is just weird by
default. There's a phase at which every brand had to have a weird character. So the meerkat or the little...
The go compare guy.
The go compare guy. So we've all now got... We've got to be weird and we've got to have a weird character.
The mascot, yeah. It's the Churchill dog and everything. Mm. And now you've got remnants of that coming along, but they're kind of... They're not adultifying, what's the word? Like, they're kind of just making it a bit more mature as it goes. Like, there's some adverts with, like, the Churchill dog and a skateboard and stuff, and it's a little bit less about the personality of the mascot now. Mm. It's more just about, here's the mascot, recognisable brand. Which is, it's interesting watching that evolution over time.
Yeah. But we'll get, hopefully we'll get to a point where Burger King will just have a picture of a burger and go,
You know what it is. Yeah. Burg, get it in your mouth.
Nice.
I want to make I've got a proper idea for an advert now where it's just burger, nice, get it in your mouth.
They've probably done it.
I mean, have you seen, over Christmas I went to the cinema and watched the KFC advert. And again, honestly, I think
you
KFC...
You went to cinema to watch the KFC
specifically
advert.
Just to watch the KFC. I just love chicken.
Again.
Play
don't
it
you know
again.
Who I am. Play that advert again.
I saw it and it was very good. Their advertising is fantastic. They're ahead of the curve, I think, with what they do.
So what's this advert? Tell me about
it. It was
this
one
advert.
Where it was there was two of them. There was one where it was a chicken in the snow. I don't know, just Google it. It's like
chicken in the snow.
Yeah,
it's,
there was
poor
like
guy.
A chicken in the snow. It was
and then he got
cool.
killed in the end.
Yeah, then he got killed. I don't know. It's poor just lads. Tragic. It's a real tragedy. And then the second one was where he was driving down the streets and it was like looking at all the fake KFCs, like Southern Fried Chicken, Louisiana
PFC's
Fried Chicken.
My
yeah,
favorite.
And it was just kinda like and that is smart, because it's really basic, really simple, but everybody knows. Like, you walk down the street, you know they're all just KFC rip-offs. So it's kind of tapping into that without saying it. Kind of just like, well, you know, we are the best. Like, just in case you need a reminder. Like, and I liked it, because it was subtle. And it, was, it wasn't just like, eat your chicken, get it in your gob. You want chicken, we do best chicken. Yeah, get it, cheap. And it was it was just like, come on, you know we're the best one.
We obviously got Nando's.
Yeah,
but we in Reading have a Fernando's.
Oh, we had one here.
And they had to change their name. I felt really bad for them. Like Nando's must have sued. But Fernando's was the superior chicken.
I mean, it's crazy how they just pop up, but actually they end up being kind of bad.
Yeah. Reading has like a few like peri-peri places.
Yeah.
I think because we've got a fairly big Muslim community and chicken's legit.
Do you think Muslim community peri-peri are like synonymous?
I just think it's...
Just coincidental that they...
Maybe. The thing that the Muslim community in Reading has boomed are dessert stores.
Oh, God, I'm all about that.
So, you know, like Dreams and Treats
yeah.
and all that. That's a big part of a lot of young Muslim people because they don't drink.
Oh, so it's like their social...
Like, you can't go to the pub. Or you can go to the pub, but obviously you might feel uncomfortable in the pub. But we can all go to Dreams in Reading, which used to be a pub, but now get 50 different types of ice cream, and it's still a bit of a disco.
That's really cool. Because, like, I mean, this is where, I mean, I'll be honest, like, community centres, it's like all well and good, but really, who realistically gets the mates and goes down to the community centre? Nobody. And that's why most of them are closed now, because they just, realistically, they didn't tap into what they should have been doing. Whereas that, I mean, it's maybe not intentional, but they've, that is what you need. You need something a bit wholesome and a little bit you know, different, where people can go and congregate. And
it is a really interesting thing, like, where different cultures have different food requirements.
Yeah.
Means that they end up having different social outlets.
Yeah.
You know, I find that fascinating.
It is.
I'm just happy if I can find cake. A Greg's.
Yeah. Greg, a new one just opened around the corner.
Greg's different. Vegan Steak Bake.
It's a kid.
It's actually good.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, I love their sausage roll, the vegan one. Very
See,
good.
I found the vegan sausage roll a little dry.
Maybe it was just the one you got.
Maybe, yeah.
Because, I mean, they are hit and miss, aren't they, sometimes? Yeah. You go to Greg's, they're cold, hard.
Yeah, I think because they're not using butter in the pastry as well, yeah. That maybe if it's just not quite
the
optimum
one I had
temperature.
Was fantastic.
Whereas the vegan steak bake, because there's a natural moisture to it with the gravy. It felt good.
Oh, let's try it now.
Again, a similar question to the corporate side.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you manage to honestly be you versus that necessity for, like, faux positivity in the things you create?
So I try really not to be faux positive, because, like, there's a real insidious problem with people just being like, everything is perfect, just be happy, just be nice to people all the time, because that's not reality. You can't... Like, some people are assholes, and you kind of just have to accept that, deal with them, and move on. It's about not wallowing in the assholery, right?
Yeah.
So there is it's quite difficult to try and make sure that you're not putting out negativity, because I don't want to put out negativity, but I also don't want to put out just, like, good, happy vibes, everybody. Like, weird TV children's show presenter kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's something that actually I've been recently doing acting classes with the Meisner technique. Mm. And it's like, it's about your genuine, truthful reaction and emotions. And it's something that I'm partly doing because I think it's really important for the content creation.
Mm.
And it's something I've really had to let go of over the last few years is people pleasing. Because I want people to like me. And I think that's natural. People... want people to like them for the most part, unless you're like a grizzled veteran of society who's just like, everyone's a dick and I don't want anyone to like me. But it's I really had to get over this whole idea of just like, why
you just
why
described
wouldn't?
My brand.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that's literally my brand.
Oh my god,
right,
she just knows me, my brand. It's really hard to get over though, because I don't do anything particularly controversial. But in doing that, over the years, I've realised that I watered myself down a lot because I was so scared of saying something that someone might take a dissenting opinion of that I didn't want to say anything at all. So it's got to the point where I'm like, I second guess what I post because I'm like, but what if that's insensitive? What if I'm saying something that actually I've not thoroughly researched, I don't know about? And I kind of came to the realisation that nobody thinks like that for the most part. People on the internet don't... They just write whatever ignorant crap is in their head, you know? Like,
and I think that the majority of people, if you sat down right now and wrote some heinously offensive tweet that was clearly, like, a misunderstanding on your part, the majority of people will accept you saying, yo, guys, I done fucked up.
Yeah.
That's not what I was trying to say. As long as you... apologize. I think that we've got this weird thing when people do fuck up and then they double down.
Yeah.
They like suddenly...
Yeah, I'm a dick. No. Yeah, deal with it.
Yeah.
Just say it like it is, innit?
Yeah. Just or go, just a joke. It was just a joke, wasn't it?
No, but it is hard to get over, isn't it? That, you know, trying not to water myself down. So, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm, like, bringing back the sort of authentic reactions and allowing myself to... show that instead of just hiding that and just feeling like, well, who cares? Why would anyone care about my opinion on this matter? Why would anyone care about what I have to say? And I've realized that, well, if you're doing content creation online, that's kind of what you have to do. That's
job.
Your brand. Yeah, your brand is your personality. And if you're not giving people your personality, what are you giving them? You're just giving them some superficial version of yourself. And I decided that 2020 would be the year that I grow to accept the real warts and all everywhere in what I do, because you can't be happy with yourself if you're not authentic and genuine with yourself. And I've always tried my goddamn best to be genuine, like especially on stream. Like, I don't hide anything on stream. I'm very open, I'm very honest. I'll talk about things that maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but I'll try and do it in a sensitive way. But I'm trying to do that more in my other social medias, like Instagram, stuff that traditionally people will put their best foot forward only. I'm trying to just be like, well, I you know, it got to the point where I was even scared to post about achievements. I'd be like, I would never post about any cool stuff that happened. I'd just be like, that's cool, and just internalise it. Because I was so scared of being like I was bragging. And I was like, well, why not just post about it?
Yeah. Like, this is my thing with social media in general. I want to see the brags.
Yeah.
As long as I also get to see the reality.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Like, the thing about new parents on Facebook and all you ever see is this pristine photo of their baby.
Yeah.
I also need that 3 o'clock post where they're like, literally, if this baby never woke up now, like, I don't know if I'd notice. I just want to sleep, man. Let me sleep.
You know, yeah,
And I think that's one of the problems with how we treat social media.
Yeah.
Like, we focus in on, you tweet a thing and then loads of people go ding ding ding,
yeah,
and then it hits the algorithm, so the algorithm shows it to more like, people, and all of a sudden like but so you then, oh, people like it when, yeah, I'm racist, okay, that's being more racist, maybe not that extreme, but you know what I mean. So
not try that one personally yet.
Yeah, I haven't picked a race. I haven't picked which race to hate yet. I'm trying.
There's so many, you know.
I think white people. I think I'm going to pick on white people.
I think you'd be joining a large crew there.
There's a game.
Yeah.
But that also happens with your negative stuff as well. Yeah. I'm not saying that racism is positive.
But it's keeping that line, isn't it, of making sure it's real without making people think that negativity is the only thing. Like, it's because there's a lot of this whole cynicism, or people conflating cynicism with intelligence and thinking that people who are negative and cynical about everything, are they just a higher being? You know, they just think more about things than other people. They just understand. They're not a sheep. And I hate that. I'm like, no, they're just cynical. They're just refusing to, you know, extract the good out of it. They're just only seeing the bad. And they're doing that to their detriment. Because if you don't take those little nuggets of good out of things, then you're just going through life just being like, on a surface level, that's shit. Well, that's shit, isn't it? Well, that's shit. Well, according to that thing that I knew like 10 years ago, that's also shit. And it's
that thing of like looking at something and seeing why it's bad,
yeah,
or what potentially has to be good.
Yeah.
That still doesn't, you're still looking at the same thing. But yeah, being able to say, you know what, I like it. If maybe they did this,
yeah, that'd it should be great. Improved. That's right, yeah. And it's the problem with this in the gaming industry, it's the problem with anything. Like, that snap judgment of, that shit. And it's something that you have to really get over as a content creator, is people will say that to your face and just be like, you'll spend your heart and soul on something, as I'm sure you know, just for someone, one random comment on the internet to be like, that's awful, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. And you're like,
people are a lot less engaged in just dumping on music. I've noticed, like, people just tend to, not for me, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe if someone's super famous, like Ed Sheeran's going to get shat on all day, yeah, because he's so big. But genuinely, like you like Churches.
Yeah.
There's no one suddenly hearing a Churches song and going, oh, that's awful. I've got to write a really long screed on why.
Have you read the YouTube comments of half of these things? It's just like, this is, true. Why does anyone listen to this? This is the worst thing I've ever heard. This isn't real music. That's my favourite one. Real music. What is real music?
We've been doing that thing for ages. You see it a lot. People will pick an era. They'll say the 60s were where all, yeah, that's where all good music was, and it.
Yeah. But they're just jerking themselves off to the vinyl records, like, oh, I remember real music. Like, I mean.
But the reason why we kind of, I don't know, if my dad turned on the radio now and heard some of the kind of weirder, some of the hip hop now is getting kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
There's no way he'd even have the language to understand it.
Yeah.
But play him Chaz and Dave. And he's there, he gets it. But I think there's a certain element of, you formulate what you love when you're younger.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't fall in love with something new when you're older, but is, when you're 17 years old and you're full of hormones, and you're not only falling in love with music for the first time, but you're falling in love for the first time.
Yeah.
All that stuff, you're gonna like bond to certain stuff.
Like, you're experiencing it for the first time. It's such an intense emotion to experience something like that for the first time. And that's why like teenagerness is scary.
But that's why like with 16-year-olds now who are bonding that way to Drake.
Yeah.
And it sounds bizarre, because to me, Drake is really average.
Yeah.
But to that kid's probably going to hold Drake in their head for the next 20 years.
They've not experienced, like, the emotions maybe they're experiencing for the very first time attached to this music. I mean, that is a powerful combination. Like, holy crap. I mean, I kind of had to make myself be more open-minded, because there was a time where I was just very insular with what I listened to. Mm. It was all like emo rock sort of like vibe, and it got to the point where I was like, well, I mean, I hate pop music, it's awful. Mm. And I kind of opened myself up a lot, sort of my 20-21 sort of age, and I was like, it's not awful, actually. I didn't like it back then, but I actually kind of like it now. Mm. And now I listen to absolutely anything. Like, I enjoy everything. Mm. And it's nice.
Well, most music's pretty limited in the amount of scope it has of that combination of notes.
Yeah.
And because of what we like as well, this is to do with like the shape of our ear and the way sound waves work and all that, so there is only a limited amount of stuff people can make that people are going to enjoy.
Yeah.
And so limiting yourself even further just seems silly.
Yeah, you're missing out on so much ear experience.
I've always noticed like metalers, like old school metalers, love the Prodigy. And it's just because there's something similar sonically. Yeah. There's something similar, like obviously Keith Flint brings them in a bit with his look and stuff. But if that can happen, then that does mean that anyone can love anything.
Well, it kind of shocked me a little bit when my dad was I guess it shouldn't shock me, he's old school rock, like I'm wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt. Mm-hmm. He got me into Maiden, he got me into like all of the classic rock stuff. Iron Maiden, classic rock, you know, old school kind of metal.
Yeah.
And then
they're still around, aren't they? Maiden,
yeah.
Who's singing at the moment?
It's Bruce still, I think.
It's gone back to Bruce. Yeah. Because it was Blaze Bailey for a while.
Might be wrong. I saw them in concert about 7 years ago, and it's Bruce, but that's a long time ago.
Blaze Bailey will be before that. Yes. I remember my brother's kid is called Blaze.
Okay.
And it was Blaze Bailey then.
Good name.
So I always just found it funny because my brother doesn't know Iron Maiden. So it's just like you called your kid after the replacement singer in Iron Maiden.
Accidental taste, kind of.
Yeah.
But then my dad got into Dragon Force, and I was like, to be honest, that's quite out there for like a metalhead. Like, it's metal, but it's like new. Like, it's very different. And I was quite surprised by that. But then if I try and make him listen to Churches, he'd be like, what is this?
What is this dirge?
Oh my God. Yeah, the worst thing ever. So it's quite fascinating. You do kind of not set in your ways, but you do kind of stick to what you like.
Yeah. This is just language, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Jake, our mutual friend Jake. His dad won't eat pasta.
Oh, okay.
So right. If you have like spaghetti bolognese, he'll have the bolognese part, but with potatoes.
What?
So any pasta dish.
This is a call out to Jake's dad. What the fuck?
But he replaces all pasta with potatoes.
That's mental.
And it's weird. What? But like, there must have, he's bonded.
Some trauma. Pasta, awful lasagna and incidents.
Some dodgy Italian touched him inappropriately. Maybe that's it. Do you find, obviously there's financial pressure on being an independent, a self-facilitating media node, to quote Nathan Barley. There's that pressure. But do you find there's a pressure from your audience?
Most
do you owe them something?
I feel like I do. They will tell me frequently, no, you don't owe us anything.
No, you don't.
They're lovely.
Take time off.
Yeah,
fine.
It's fine, but then it's not fine because, you know, eventually people stop coming back. So you kind of, it's, again, I think working with Xbox over the year and a half really helped me let go of that a little bit, to the point where I was like, I'm going to make the content I want to make instead of just, I was working 6 to 7 days a week before I joined Xbox. I was doing streams every single day, like 5-6 hours a day. I hated it. I was really not enjoying it. And you can't talk about that, really, frankly, with your audience, because they'll take it as a personal, like, slight. You know, like, you hated it, so you weren't enjoying hanging out with us. And I'm like, that's not even slightly. It was all me. It was all on me feeling pressured and not having any inspiration whatsoever to be talking and making content and just going through the motions of feeling like I had to be live every day. Mm. And I was really not enjoying it at all. So I joined Xbox, and it forced me out of that, because instead I was having a different routine. But I was still trying to stream every weekend. So I was really burned out, because I was working. I'd get up at 7 a.m. every day. I'd be commuting an hour and a half into work. I'd be working all day. I'd get home at 7:30 at night, and I'd be exhausted.
It's weird that how exhausting streaming can be.
Yeah, I mean,
You could, I can sit on a sofa and play a game for 6 hours and not be exhausted by that.
Yeah, exactly.
But as soon as I As soon as the camera's on and my brain, your brain is engaged in a different way.
Because you're trying to entertain people. And this, and now I do 4 days a week. And this is so much better for me because I have 4 days a week streaming, 1 day a week where I do all the forward stuff I need to do. I maybe edit, so I'm like trying to do some YouTube stuff. And then I have a weekend. Oh my God, I've not had a weekend like regularly for 5-6 years now, so this is mental. But I have a weekend to myself now. And I find that now I go into streaming like excited. I want to stream. I've got things to talk about. I'm like really happy to engage, and I'm so, and I think it works much better now than it used to, and I think people maybe enjoy watching a little bit more. And that's and it makes me sad because I feel like the content I was putting out like a couple of years ago was so subpar, and I'm not proud of it. And that's kind of what feeds the guilt more, is feeling like you have to be on, but when you're on and the content is shit, what's the point? Like, you're just, you're driving away the people who enjoy watching you. Mm. You're driving away new people who come to the stream and go, what? What is this? And you're just doing yourself a disservice. But you're so stressed about money constantly that you feel trapped into doing it. Mm. So, I mean, it was a blessing that Xbox came along because it meant that I broke that cycle and I got out of that. And now, obviously, I'm kind of stressed a little bit again because I'm going back into freelance and I don't know what's going to happen next year. But as I said, trust the process. Every single year, I do the same thing. I'm stressed. I'm like, oh my God, that was probably my best year ever. It's never going to be the same. It's all downhill from here. Ah! I've done this every year for the past 5 years, by the way. Had like some sort of breakdown about my career. And then at the end of the year, you're like, oh, things went much better than expected, actually.
They were fine.
Yeah. And I just kind of said to myself this year, look, things don't work out. You've got enough skills in different areas now. Like, I could quite happily blab my way into some sort of work position at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I think I've learned a lot of different things, and I believe in myself. So I've learned self-belief. Wow.
It is valid experience for, like, community manager jobs and, like, there's a lot, marketing, PR, community management, like, the one thing you really notice is when they haven't had experience of the other side, the actual creator side of things.
Yeah.
Because they don't fully understand how it works.
I mean, you see some people interacting with audiences and it's cringeworthy the way that some community managers like will interact with the audience in a way that they'll be rude and stuff. Yeah. And you're like, you can't. Like, you don't want to pander, but like, good Lord, like, please, don't treat your community like...
Oh, but I'm edgy. I'm acerbic. No, you're just coming off as an arsehole.
Yeah, and your community is what you breed it to be, right? If you're going to be a dick to them, they're going to be a dick back, and you're just feeding a cycle, so it is difficult.
I reckon that we're good there.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
That's bang on an hour.
Ooh. Felt a lot longer, actually.
Oh, thanks.
Not in a bad way.
That's really...
It's just we had a lot of really good discussions.
I'm hoping, because I didn't have headphones in, I'm hoping it's fine.
Redo!
Redo!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I
Did you enjoy that conversation? If so, smash that subscribe button and drop a scintillating 5-star review. And don't forget, you can support this podcast directly by hopping over to patreon.com/DanLaSac. Enjoy!
Hey, there we go. There we go. Episode 28 in the bag. Weirdly, Dan LaSac. That means Dan the bag. I didn't even know. Look at that. I'm in the bag. That's my name. What am I talking? Where am I? Hello? Is anyone there? Hello? It was a really nice chat. I like Leela a lot. She's just one of those people that is nice. She's just nice. There's no, like, evil, you know? You know, I don't know if you watch Jessica Jones, guys. Jessica Jones Series 3. If Eric met Leela, he wouldn't get a migraine. He'd be cool. He'd be like, oh, no, she's nice, man. She's good. So, yeah, that reference isn't that deep, but it might be too deep for some of you. So watch Jessica Jones Season 3. It was a good season, to be fair. They rounded it off nicely. I know I'm talking about this maybe 6-7 months after it came out, but that's how far behind the times I am. But Twitch.tv, it can be one of the most delightful places on the planet. There's a few communities out there that, I don't know, just make you feel better about the world. Leah's is one. Kit Boga, his is one. Mine, nah, you're average. Average to poor, to be fair. I tend to pick up the dregs of society. And I haven't streamed in a while because of just being a grumpy old man who talks about politics too much and depresses everyone. But I'm going to start streaming again soon. Allegedly. Soon, TM, as they say. But I hope you enjoyed that chat. I hope you're all feeling delightful and having a wonderful time. Do all the things, tweet and stuff, because I need it. I need it, guys. And I will see you in a fortnight where, haven't recorded this one yet, but Radio Legend is joining us. A Radio Legend is joining us. I literally get off a plane, come home, nap for an hour, and then go to that London to record the next episode with a Radio Legend. Not John Peel, he's dead. But yeah, have a lovely one. And I'll see you soon. Enjoy your lives.